Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And for this hour, your connection to the world of writing and peer writing tutoring. Of course, we are brought to you by the wonderful University Center for Writing-Based Learning. You can call us the Aquabull for short, though. That's what our friends call us. Check us out at depaul.edu/writing. I'm Ryan McQueeny, joined by the talented Kate Harrington.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Still good.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask you every single time, just for the record.
Okay, I'll start coming up with better adjectives.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but I ask you every single time, and all you ever say is good.
Great. Fantastic.
Well, yeah, I can get you a thesaurus if you need one.
Okay.
And this
I'm feeling pingle. Just kidding.
Which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. We don't know. This week, we are joined by Brendan Moore.
Hey, guys.
He's from the DePaulia. You may have heard of it. It's a little rag we hand out every... every week.
Yeah, we recycle it every week.
So we're talking politics. We're talking politics. But before we get back into talking politics, we're going to be talking pingle, the word of the day.
Talking pingle.
So as a reminder, word of the day is America's favorite game show segment. Brendan, I don't know if you knew that or not.
No. All yeah. news to me.
Certified America's favorite game show segment. It's where we guess a rare or uncommon word. And Kate, why do we do it?
Because words are the currency of life.
You're gosh darn right they are. So pingle, it's a verb. And our first clue, that means give me a drum roll.
I thought you were doing a good job by yourself.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fine. Pingle, it's a verb. Done in Congress.
What?
Robert is very good about making these thematic. So yeah. This is something that has to do with our theme this week because it's done in Congress.
See, when I first heard pingle, I thought it was going to be like ping, like a weird noise.
Like an onomatopoeia?
Yeah.
Did you know that I knew that word?
No, I wasn't expecting it.
Okay, so if you know what pingle means... 773-325-7341. Text us in. Give me the deets. Kate, what's the other way that they can let us know?
They can tweet at us.
Some weird social media outlet.
Mm-hmm. Twitter.
Twitter. Twitter.
With the hashtag Skrull Radio.
And do we have a guess? We have a guess.
Is it a guess or is it the definition?
I think it's a guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew Pearson, one of the wonderful directors at the Writing Center.
I'm scared that he tweeted the definition.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how the game works.
This is true. Sorry, Matthew.
To walk in the to walk in the slow, deliberate manner or style of a penguin.
Oh, good one.
Okay. I don't know.
Congressman, did
slash,
they do that?
Slash to stroll confidently. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know if I would say a penguin walks in a slow, deliberate manner or style ever, though. You've seen, what is
waddle.
The theme or the documentary with Samuel L. Jackson or Morgan Freeman as the...
March of the Penguins?
March of the Penguins.
Morgan of the Penguins?
Okay, before we move on, I want to discuss March of the Penguins briefly. Because March of the Penguins is a cultural phenomenon when it came out.
It was.
You remember this? Mm-hmm. It was a huge deal.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Am I
forgetting why? Was there something about March of the Penguins that made it really cool?
It was all the penguin they did.
I've never seen March of the Penguins, actually.
I think I've seen like 45 minutes of it, and then I went, why am I watching this?
All I took from it is that, you know, Morgan Freeman's voice.
Is beautiful. But we already knew that.
Established.
We already knew that. Huh. But you remember when it came out, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You remember it being a big deal when it came out. And how many animal documentaries come out every year? Thousands.
Was that the first, though?
The first one ever? I don't think so.
No, but like the first one in theaters, you know?
Maybe it was like a big like IMAX hullabaloo.
It won a lot of awards, didn't it?
Did it?
What kind of awards do they even give out for that?
I don't know.
Narration.
It could have been one of those things like Planet Earth on Discovery Channel where it's just cool for the sheer like... They spent 8 years doing it, so we have to care about it.
Yeah, but you know, I agree. It seemed like it was a cultural phenomenon when it came out. You know, I heard people cried at the end of it, so I didn't want to watch it.
Did they? I don't think I've ever seen the end then. Okay, but cultural phenomenon. Segue cultural phenomenons this election. Did you like that transition,
Kate?
Beautiful. This, and we've already touched on it a little bit with talking about the unique aspects of this election. It has been quite the sensational election, quite the cultural election, kind of sweeping the nation, if you will. Not to say that, you know, other elections haven't done that, but it's been a crazy time. Mm-hmm. It's been a crazy time. And so I want to see if we can learn any lessons from it. And I want to do that by connecting these themes that we've already been talking about with this election to the core beliefs and core values that we talk about at the Writing Center.
Mm-hmm.
So in kind of a roundtable discussion, I'm going to shoot a couple things at you guys.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay. And just hit me with your honest reactions. And I think that'll be the best way to go about this.
Okay.
Core belief number one that I want to talk about. Anyone who writes anything is a writer. I actually think that might be this core belief number two, but I don't know the order. Don't hate me. Sorry. So what I'm drawing from that is participation. Open participation specifically is really important. Now, of course, that's something that connects to American politics. That's kind of the whole point, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we're supposed to have this open participation. Anyone who wants to engage in American politics can. Anyone above the age of 18 is supposed to be able to vote. Is that the case, though? Is politics open for everyone to participate in this country, or is it closed off to certain groups of people?
Heavy question.
Yeah, I...
Deep. It's deep.
I think it is open to anybody who wants to participate. I think people get very cynical very quickly because they feel like they don't have a voice. They feel that, especially in this post-Citizens United world, that big money, you know, has more of a say in big decisions that happen, whether it's on a national level or on a local level. But it was interesting because Congressman Mike Quigley was just on campus, and he had a big speech about, he was talking to some young people, some college kids,
sure.
You know, trying to get them involved because obviously, as you guys know, young people, you know, 18 to 24 are the lowest, participating people in elections, lowest, voting group. And he had this really interesting story. Basically, he said he was over in Ukraine when they were about to do their elections, and he said that he was there when, you know, there were these young people there who were about to go out and, you know, be poll watchers because mm-hmm. obviously, you know, in Ukraine there's a lot of controversy,
sure.
you know, with the Russians there you know, being involved in the process. And he had said that, you know, they had, you know, they were writing their wills when he wow. was there, you know, before they were going out to these sites because mm-hmm. they were going to be, you know, Russian, you know, people with machine guns there. And so
that's how much they cared.
That's
about.
How much they cared. And, yeah. and the point of the story was these people are willing to die for free elections and for democracy. And his point was that, yeah, you know, you can be, you know, cynical, and, you know, there are a lot of issues with you know, some of the processes in our country, especially with, you know, the involvement of money in politics. But
sure.
you really have no you know, right to complain if you don't participate in the process. So
yeah.
he was like, you know, get involved in the process. And for the most part, it's pretty easy. Like, if you want to volunteer in a campaign, they will always find work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think mm-hmm. for people, it's just kind of getting over that hump of, you know, what difference can I make?
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, you can make a big difference, but sure. but I think a lot of people just don't believe that.
Sure. Kate, I want to hear your perspective for this next one, because it's our core value that we come back to, I would say, just about every week on the show, collaboration.
I actually wanted to talk about the core belief. I had a good answer for that.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
I
didn't want to.
It's okay.
No,
it's okay.
Sorry.
I
didn't want to cut you off.
I wanted to make the connection between the idea of anyone who writes anything as a writer to political, like, advocacy.
Please do.
Anyone who writes as a writer, but not necessarily anybody who writes is going to get published, is going to be a famous writer, mm-hmm. is going to be in the canon. But that doesn't mean their writing doesn't matter, you know? Just like anybody can participate in politics, but that doesn't mean they're going to be president, but they still matter, you know?
Amen. Amen.
I was stewing on that thought. You were really wanted to say it.
So I still want to ask you about collaboration.
That's cool. I can do that too.
I think you'll have a good perspective on this. This whole idea of political, and in the participation aspect comes into this too, because it matters who's willing to participate, who's willing to collaborate in this process. So how do you see politics as a collaborative effort?
Oh my gosh. In everything, mm-hmm. you know, like you can't run for president on your own.
Sure.
Every
you were talking about volunteers. That's immensely important for anyone who wants to run.
Absolutely. Election. Absolutely. You know, and as you're saying, you know, collaboration is important for anything in politics, because, you know, especially you look at like Hillary Clinton or any of the Republican nominees or candidates, you know, they have to run these big national campaigns.
Yeah.
You know, you need a lot of volunteers,
a lot of people,
and, you know, a lot of strategists. You need, it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately what politics is in the end, is, you know, you're on teams, and, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but, you know, it's always a collaborative effort.
And I think it's also like every decision that is made is deeply thought out and meticulously.
And I think that's probably because of the amount of people collaborating mm-hmm. on it, and just the amount of different perspectives and opinions you're getting on things.
And, you know, collaborating, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But, and collaborating is really how you get stuff done in the political process.
Sure.
You know, you're much more likely to get a bill passed or have make your influence known if you're part of an interest group than if you're just, Mr. Smith going to Washington, you know, on your own, you know, trying to advocate for a position. But, you know, if you're with a group of people, like, hey, you know, we don't think this is right, we want to change it, you know, you're more likely to have your voice be heard.
Yeah.
Sure. Strengthen numbers.
Sure. Definitely.
I want to touch on a couple things that I think are specific to this election. And these are two of our other core values, transparency and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Transparency, I think, has been huge, especially when you were talking about the Republicans are talking about indicting Hillary Clinton for her emails.
It's the language they're using.
And I think respect has been a big topic when looking at a person like a Donald Trump, who has said some things that a lot of people didn't like and mm-hmm. were, you know, pretty disrespectful to certain groups of people at certain moments.
Mm-hmm.
So those ideas of transparency and respect, we at the Writing Center think they're important when we talk with people and we tutor people and we work with people. Do they play that same role in government and in politics? Are they necessary? Can we get things done without them? Or should they be a core value that politicians also share?
You know, I think it's something that politicians should strive for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something people always regret nowadays, is, you know, the lack of civility in politics. And a lot of it goes back to the polarization. But I think that at the end of the day, when you know, you have to be in a room and you have to make decisions, you have to govern, you know, people are going to be respectful and they're going to, you know, try and work together and everything. But, you know, this is a very heated campaign. And I think that at least on the Republican side, you had, I think, 17 candidates.
Sure.
Some crazy number.
Mm-hmm.
And when it, you know, gets to be that large, it gets to be a battle of personalities.
Yeah, definitely.
And when it gets to be a battle of personalities, you know, anything goes. Mm-hmm. Especially when Donald Trump is the leader of those of the pack. And so I think that with regards to respect, you know, it's hard when Donald Trump is there, and Donald Trump and respect in the same sentence really doesn't make sense. But but I think that you know, anytime you're in a heated campaign, you know, language is going to be turned up and everything, and because at the end of the day, you're, you know, catering to a certain base. you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and you're going to use language and you're going to, you know, do certain actions that your base is going to like. And, you know, so I think that definitely kind of goes into to the maybe the lack of respect that we're seeing right now.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out. I like singing on the show, I guess. It's what we've learned the last 2 weeks. So fascinating. I think it's always interesting to hear or to kind of just flesh out how these values that, you know, on paper look like they're unique to us at the Writing Center, how they show up in our everyday lives. That fascinates me. I can see in your face that it fascinates you, Kate.
Agreed.
So I think here I want to take another quick break. Of course, before we do that break, I want to remind everyone of the word of the day.
Pingle.
The word of the day is pingle. It's a verb.
What is our Congress?
Done in Congress. Done in Congress. That's our first clue.
Could be decision-making.
Another quick heads up to text us at 773-325-7341 if you have a guess, or you can tweet at us with the hashtag #ScrawlRadio. We will be getting to what pingle means later after another clue.